Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, we're about to go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. We were just talking about the greatest what might have been situations in honor of the Texans, or the Astros, rather, getting ready to release, or releasing, rather, Forrest Whitley in order to bring up a man who had a fantastic day for the Astros over the weekend. We'll talk more about the Astros a little bit later. As they got a weekend win. But we were talking about those what might have been situations, and you guys brought up a whole bunch of them, including somebody said if the Bears selected Mahomes in 2017 rather than Mitchell Trubisky.
I
think Joseph on the YouTube page makes a good point that, like, hey, man, quarterback situations matter so much, right? Like, obviously the opportunity to sit, but obviously the opportunity to pair Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid is a big part of that. Does he become Patrick Mahomes in Chicago?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing with the Texans. What if they traded a little bit more to get Patrick Mahomes, jump the Chiefs a little bit.
Rather than...
And what if the Chiefs went with Deshaun Watson instead?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, as far as like the Bears, and I'd have liked to have found out. I bet
they would have as well. And this is the ultimate one. Yeah. Maybe the ultimate, maybe not the ultimate. There's a lot of them. But from the 281, they said, what if they were at the game, they promised they'd never talk about a game, but what if Emmanuel Sharp got off that shot for versus Florida.
That's a little too soon.
I was like, I get why you didn't want to talk about it. I don't think it's the final shot, though. I think that final shot was going to be rushed. It was going to be a little off balance. I think the actual what if is, what if Emmanuel Sharpe does not turn that ball over as he's driving to the hoop? Maybe a possession or two prior. Because I think if you get in that one, now you can create a little bit more distance and give yourself an opportunity to do this. Like, unfortunately, at that point, you needed a heave, and of course, he didn't get it off. But I don't know that I'm leaning on the heave more than I am a nice, good drive to the paint where you have an opportunity at one of the best
just
shots.
Anywhere in that final stretch.
Yeah, just anywhere just if it looks anywhere. Different.
What if they kept the damn lead? Yeah. How about that one?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. All right, some other, let's go around the NFL, rather. Here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And I would like to turn to one Ian Rappaport. This is a cut five here, Fig. Ian Rappaport has been busy reporting news now, ain't he? This one kind of started coming together this morning as the Green Bay Packers have Jair Alexander is a cornerback that they've had. He's been really good for them. Obviously, he's dealt with a little bit of injuries, and those injuries kind of led them to do something this morning.
Sources say they have informed Pro Bowl cornerback Jair Alexander of his release. That is expected to take place today. So after an offseason of wondering and discussions and some trade talks, the Packers are in fact moving on from Jair Alexander. Remember, this has been one that has been up and down, back and forth for the last several months, actually the last several years. Alexander, a Pro Bowler, one of the more talented cornerbacks in the NFL, has battled some injury issues over the last couple years, last year, particularly frustrating one. This offseason, the two sides agreed to explore a potential trade. That trade did not happen before the draft. So at that point, they discussed a potential pay cut, a restructured contract, could not agree to terms on that either. In the end, the Green Bay Packers opt for a clean break. They're moving on, and now one of the more talented corners in the NFL expected to be available today.
That's a wow moment. That's for dang sure. But, you know, ultimately, everybody, 32 fan bases say this, 31 fan bases say the same thing after something like this. Hey, now.
Yeah, hey, that's
now.
Interesting.
Hey, now. what about Jair?
They need to keep him away from Philly. That's all I got.
Well, yeah.
It's already being mentioned.
Yeah, keep him away from the Eagles, man.
The thing about it for me is I would absolutely love Jair Alexander. Like it was mentioned by Ian Rappaport there, he has had some injury issues. I think he started only or played only 7 games in the last couple of seasons. Hasn't played 600 snaps, maybe but once in the last 4 years. But you're not looking at him as a starter. You're looking at him as a, you know, as a depth piece. And I think I would initially go, well, someone is probably looking at him as a starter, and I'm sure someone is. But yeah. Like, it seems like there's a lot of teams that might be looking at him as a depth piece, and maybe you'd have an opportunity. The thing that Ian was mentioning in the middle, the idea that the Packers and him could not come to terms, is the part that I think is probably makes this untenable for the Texans. I don't know that the Texans are going to be able to give him the money that it seems like he wants in order to play this season.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I also feel there's going to be teams out there, to your first point, that are going to make him a starter. They're going to take that flyer. They're going to take that flyer on him.
He wants to start. Yeah. I don't think he wants just be a piece.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he also wants that money, right? Like I don't think that he leaves Green Bay and he's like, well, now I'm just fine with whatever. I mean, maybe one of these teams picks him up off of like waivers or what have you. Now I have to remember if that's actually how this one goes. But ultimately, I don't think that he wants to take a pay cut by any means. Like I don't think that was the anticipation of having this ultimately happen. But he's really good, really, really good cornerback. Really quirky dude as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I remember him. There was like a local news station doing a stand up outside the stadium where he was running out there talking about the pack is back and everything. Like, that's one of a numerous kind of situations.
He had some beef with somebody, too. Who was it? It was somebody. He was going back and forth with another receiver.
100%.
Yeah, I forgot who it was.
Like, he does very much.
He talk a lot of smack.
Yeah. Yes, he epitomizes the.
Was it Jamar Chase?
That sounds right.
He was talking smack that with somebody. Right. Yeah.
So
I'm gonna have to find it.
Look, I would absolutely love throwing that kind of talent in there. I mean, even though he has the injuries, again, I think that you have the particular type of room to be able to sustain that. Mm-hmm. I just think that the money is going to make that just untenable for you, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think the money and clearly there's going to be a team that wants him as a starter, and Texas can't make that offer.
No. Yeah. From the 504, it's hilarious how the Texans continue to take advantage of the Browns. Well. That is a part of one of the big stories of the day is the possibility of the Texans ultimately signing Nick Chubb to the team, right? He is a free agent. The Browns have been involved. There's been some other teams that have been involved that honestly, according to Diana Rossini, have put up more lucrative offers. But I imagine that this is a very interesting proposition for Nick Chubb. So he's in the building. He's doing a physical and supposedly. All right. So earlier today, Lopez had a little bit of a reading the internet wrong. Does this vindicate him? Because this is Ian Rappaport talking about the situation as it exists for the Texans and Nick Chubb. Does this vindicate maybe pulling the trigger a little early on announcing that Nick Chubb's here?
The Houston Texans have agreed to terms with Browns Pro Bowl running back Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb headed to Houston today. Actually, probably is already there. Going to take a physical. Pending this physical, which I assume is going to be fine. He did suffer an injury at the end of last year. That was a long time ago. Pending the results of this physical, Nick Chubb, the longtime Browns running back, one of the faces of the Browns franchise, a 4-time Pro Bowler in Cleveland, who is one of the best running backs over the course of the last decade, is expected to land in Houston. And this one could have gone a couple different ways. Before the draft, the Browns had discussions with Nick Chubb about bringing him back. Those discussions did not land in a deal. They went to the draft. Browns addressed the position in the draft. The door was still open, but the Browns did address the position. The Texans did have a running back spot alongside Joe Mixon, and now they agreed to terms right before mandatory minicamp with Nick Chubb, an incentive-laden deal that should be done and finalized later today.
Sounds like it to me.
Figgy, you get to be the decider.
I think
here.
The very end part,
yeah,
because he said should be finalized by today.
Hey, they should be finalized today.
But our whole thing was wait till it's finalized.
Agreed to terms.
So, all right, so
right out of the
show. So is it safe to bring on Seth Payne now then?
I don't know, is it?
No, you should know then, man. If it's signed, sealed, delivered.
We got to wait for the physical to make sure.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, so that's where we are with Nick Chubb. But Ian Rapoport seems, the actual
terms. It's probably going to happen. It's going
to
happen.
I mean, he said they agreed to terms, and he also said he expects him to pass the fiscal, no problems, which I don't know if I do, you know.
It remains to be seen. Yeah, it does remain to be seen. The text line fig seemed to be pointing to the idea that it was Stephon Diggs that Jair had a level of beef with, as opposed to.
Maybe. Oh, it sure was. It sure was. Yeah. It was.
Fantastic. Which that would be hilarious if your off seasons you get two competing sides of a particular beef in your building. That would be kind of funny. I'm not holding out hope or with bated breath on the idea of Jair Alexander making his way to the Texans. But he is out there, a cornerback that has been very good, been very opportunistic in his career. Speaking of cornerbacks in that way, Jalen Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Have you been following this in the same way? Because I have not mentioned
maybe
this
not the same
much.
Way. Maybe you're writing a book. I don't know.
I'm not writing a book. I can tell you that. But I feel like I have not brought this up as much because it's just been kind of in limbo. But Jalen Ramsey, it does not seem like that man is going to play with the Miami Dolphins, as they've kind of had him in this kind of pseudo trade block situation. But no trades have materialized. And we're getting to this time where, I don't know, it feels like it's not as easy to make a trade happen. I feel like teams have kind of spent their money, especially if you want to do a deal where you go and you actually sign a level of extension, what have you. But Jalen Ramsey is not planning on attending mandatory camp.
That has trade written all over it, of course, right?
And that's what the conversation has been, that they are working to find a trade. Like, don't you think if there was one that
where
would
might
be there,
he end up?
I have no good idea. Because I feel like if there was one that would be opportunistic or opportune to happen, that we would have some level of like leadings on where this might be. And it feels like there's just nothing percolating for him.
Yeah, I'm going to say somewhere warm. It seemed like he's just trying to go somewhere warm.
Funny you say It's funny you say that. I was just gut tells me L.A. Chargers. Harbaugh.
I was thinking Chargers. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know if he'll go back to the Rams. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I'm not sure. Somewhere warm for sure, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Rams would be interesting. I feel like don't the Chargers, aren't they set when it comes to safeties?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what I feel like. It's going to be one of those type situations. Yeah.
I guess that could be kind of funny. And I guess they could probably stand to have a free safety out there in some ways if Jalen plays in that way. But yeah, man, that's been a weird one, just kind of seeing hang out there. Some other things around the NFL. I did see this interesting piece. I think it was Warren Sharp put this out here. He put up an accounting of all the plays that generated 25-plus yards last year. Like, I mean, just real explosive plays. First and foremost, do you know where the Texans ranked when it came to this?
Not high, right?
I mean, can you just guess?
Middle.
I'm going to say 15.
17. I'm going to say 17.
Lopez is indeed closer. So they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, tied for 12th.
Okay.
Most 25-plus yard plays.
And I want to say most of those came later in the year. Like, I remember early in the year we were having discussions about, you know, the explosive plays and all that. Part of the Bobby Slowick stuff, you know. But, yeah, that sounds about right.
And, yeah, Jalen Ramsey is still playing cornerback. It does feel like he might. I was thinking about him moving safety, but no, you're right. He is still playing cornerback, Rocky. Okay, 39 of those. Can you name the 11 other teams, or I guess the 10 teams that had more explosive 25-plus yard plays than the Houston Texans?
Eagles?
The Eagles were one of those.
Okay.
With 43 of those, mind you.
43?
Yeah, they had 43 compared to the Texans, 39.
Who else, Figgy?
The Bills.
The Buffalo Bills is correct. They had 44 of those.
I mean, some of the usual, not the Chiefs.
Not
the Chiefs.
That is a good one because the Chiefs had only 29. Interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm. I want to say Bears.
The Chicago Bears.
They came on.
I'm going to say no.
No?
The Chicago Bears, as I'm looking for it, of
course. He's still digging, so that's got to be a no.
Did not.
Yeah.
They had 34.
Okay. Who else? What are the top five?
So the top five are as follows.
Lions.
Oh, yeah.
You said the Lions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Lions ended up, and of course, I can't find it there. As soon as I look at it, they actually tied, mm-hmm. having as many as the Houston Texans, okay. 39. Okay. So the number one team, far and away, mm-hmm. the Baltimore Ravens, had 58 of these plays, 25-plus yards. Next, the San Francisco 49ers, 52, which is kind of interesting when you mm-hmm. consider just
that's
like,
kind of shocking.
It felt yeah. like they had a lot of injuries and everything, that they yeah. weren't in that same space. The Green Bay Packers with 49, they were third. Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, why didn't we think of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with 46.
Man.
That's a little shocking.
Is it, though? I mean, they came on. They made some big plays, of course.
And also, one thing that's probably not going to have good memories for you is the Indianapolis Colts had one more of these plays. And the reason
now,
why
now that one is surprising to me.
I mean, Alex yeah. Pierce, yeah. Josh Downs.
Yeah, but still.
They had a lot of those big plays. But, I mean, with that being the case, do you anticipate more of those kind of big 25-plus yard plays for the Texans this year or less is the question that I wanted
yeah,
to
ask. Yeah, I figured that's where you were going. And, boy, it really depends on – interestingly to me, like what they do with the run game, because with this offense, play action is such a big deal, you know, and if you have a good run game, obviously you can.
With maybe, what offense?
Well, you know, the offense we expect to see.
Okay, fair enough.
Then play action is a big deal, and that's where Tom Brady got a lot of his big plays, you know, when he was running this offense.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it'd be interesting also to see, like, what are we generating in the run, if you're talking about the run game? Because mm-hmm. Joe Mixon was able to generate some explosives
by himself,
as well.
Yeah.
What are we doing in creating some more of those? I'd be interested to see that. And somebody said from the 504, it's funny watching Baker cook while Cleveland sucks. I do appreciate mm-hmm. that the 504 is just here for the I'm going to kick the Cleveland Browns whenever I have the opportunity to. And there's a lot of those.
The 504, ain't that New Orleans?
Actually, what area code is 504? Is it?
Yeah, I think that is. 504 boys. I hope you ain't no Saints fan.
Wow. Oh, that's what you're doing?
That's why. That's the
Are
first thing I thought about.
Right now?
No, I'm just saying, man. I wouldn't talk about quarterbacks right now if I'm a Saints fan.
Hey, they believe in Tyler Shuck. He's going to come through and do what Tyler Shuck does. What is that? I don't know, but he will do what Tyler Shuck. Anyways, that's Around the NFL here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit about this. Dana Brown feels like he's been actually coming on strong with some of the decisions yeah. that he's made, according to Lopez. So have we underestimated Dana Brown? Let's talk.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
About that next.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. We were in around the NFL. I mentioned the plays of 25 yards or more. And one of those top five was Tampa Bay with 46 of those plays last season.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very astute observation and very fair to note. Liam Cohen was the offensive coordinator of that offense. Like, any interest in
that? I'm worried about my take on Liam Cohen.
Yeah. That's exactly where I was going to go.
I'm
here.
Saying,
like,
man.
Lopez, would you like to step to the podium?
He might have Trevor Lawrence looking like Baker Mayfield.
Many confessions before confessions in about an hour. I from the very beginning, they just rubbed me the wrong way. They sound like...
Just the Duval was enough for you. You were like, oh, he can't coach.
Duval was enough, and then Magnificent Gladstone. I'm like, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them.
Welcome to the dark side.
A little bit worried. Just a little bit.
You got to really...
Not a lot of bit, a little bit.
You got to really believe that Baker's like the kingmaker. Like, Baker's out here. And he has been to some degree, but some of those guys moved on and actually been pretty solid. Like, I know Dave Canales is kind of... been good in Carolina once he found a little bit of his footing. And I think one of the things he's talked about this offseason is trying to become a Bryce Young offense in the pass game,
where
they really lean on like him being the focal point, which I am very intrigued on how that works.
I'm very intrigued in the Jaguars at minimum. And at maximum, I'm a little worried. Little bit.
Excellent. Very good. Well, I'm excited to see what things look like once we get to like more. We get more of an idea of what all these teams are with mini camps. Mandatory minicamps getting going, including the Texans getting their mandatory minicamp going tomorrow, possibly with the Nick Chubb. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Pending physical is what the reporting has.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Ben. All right, but Lopez, let's talk about the Astros. Get a much-needed win over the weekend, series win. It looked like they were about to try and get a series sweep, but unfortunately they fall to the Guardians yesterday. All due respect to the outing put up by Walter, by Brandon Walter, who came up again. That was the reason why you said goodbye to Forrest Whitley. So that was a 4-2 loss to the Astros. But the Astros, a good 36-29
And, you know, they've won their last, how many series now? The last three series? Or no, two series. No, they won that one as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they won the last two series and they split the series with the Rays. That's right. I forgot about that. But, I mean, Astros have been doing pretty well in this time period, all things considered, even as we talk about the, mm-hmm. you know, the offense being a little bit so-so to some degree. They're mm-hmm. making the most out of it, getting on the base paths, things of that nature. And you want to give some credit where you believe credit is due here, huh?
I think give them some credit and certainly ask the question. Let me lay the foundation here. I want to ask you and Figgy and our listeners, what did you expect this Astros season to be? What did you expect them to be this year?
That is an interesting question.
Like before the first pitch of the first game, what were we talking about? What did you expect the Astros to be? Because frankly, I'll go first. I thought it was going to be a kind of a transition year. I don't know how I put it, but that's basically what it was. You know, transitioning from what was to maybe get lucky and win the division and get the postseason. But I don't think any of us expected them to be 7 games above .500, 2.5 clear of the Mariners. You know, already, especially after, you know, the start they had.
Yeah, it felt like a pry open the window year for me.
Yeah, right? Something like that.
Something where you're, mm-hmm. hey, man, still try and walk in this space while also understanding this ain't the same window that you had mm-hmm. 2 years ago. This ain't the same window that you even had last year because of some of the talent that has walked out of the door.
Yeah, I thought they was kind of going to be in the middle of the pack because, mm-hmm. remember, they traded Kyle Tucker and I ain't think Cam Smith was going to be on this squad. I thought we was going to be talking about him a couple years down the line or something like that.
Right.
So once he made the team, I'm like, okay, maybe they could make a little noise, but maybe they'd be kind of in the middle.
I'm glad
bit.
You brought up Cam Smith, and this is where I started thinking about Dana Brown as we're watching this weekend, and they're making a little hay here in the division. You know, some of the decisions. The question I had for you is: Have we underestimated Dana Brown? And the reason is none of us have ever thought like, ooh, what a GM we got here. You know, like even for all his faults, you know, Jeff Luhnow and some of those things that they were doing and the grand plan and how they built this team and the draft, et cetera. This was supposed to be a transition season. Bregman gone, Tucker gone, Verlander gone, Ryan Pressly gone, which, by the way, that decision in itself, the Ryan Pressly, you know, how they handled that. You got to give him a little credit.
I do wonder how much credit does it ultimately pan out to when you feel like the relationship was also kind of, I don't want to say tanked, but it was hampered.
But he pulled the trigger.
By Dana. He did pull the trigger. I did think it was something that was necessary, and it ultimately has proven to be one that you probably needed to do.
And then you have all these guys gone, and what did he do? Isak Paredes, anybody? I mean,
the get back in the Kyle Tucker trade has been unquestionably good, even as you've had the injury to Hayden Wesneski. Mm-hmm. He was good when you had him playing. Isak Paredes has been, I mean, really one of the two guys that you look at as the bedrock of what your offense has been this year.
Yeah.
When you look at him and Jeremy Pena, with all due respect to Jake Myers, what have you, and Altuve, right? I do need to give them their love in this, but those two guys have really been incredible for you. And then Cam Smith is just,
that's what I wanted to get to.
He's been a revelation for what you, I mean, starting him as early as you did. And I mean, even in spring training, we were like, yo, we need to do this. I think both of us in the back of our head were like, all right, we might be wilding right now. It has not been proven to be wilding. Like, it has been proven to be a good move to have him play on the big league club.
That's what I wanted to get to, and that's why I'm glad Figgy brought up Cam Smith's name. I mean, he more than a little bit put his neck on the line with Cam Smith. Remember, we had multiple discussions with Adam Spillane about it, and this wasn't just Adam opining. This was Adam after having conversations with Dana Brown, saying, no way. You know, they love him, but too soon, not enough games in the minor leagues. That's a Dana Brown decision. That is no one else. I mean, I know, you know, Jim Crane's involved and all that, but to pull the trigger on starting the season with him, despite, you know, having a good spring, still, that is putting your neck out there, and it's worked out. So you got the get back, as you put it, you know, these little smaller additions, putting your neck out, and Cam Smith, that's working out. By the way, I don't know exactly how this all played out behind the scenes, but the greatest Astro ever is playing left field, you know, in Jose Altuve.
Where does that originate from? Yeah, is what one thing that you may be throwing up there?
Yeah, you know, how did that come about? All of a sudden, you're thinking like some of the things that Dana Brown has decided to do and done, we might be shortchanging him a little bit in the way that this team was built. And oh, by the way, one more thing.
I hope you're about to mention the thing that I think you are.
Young players coming up, other players is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
not just Cam, Jacob Melton, Shea Whitcomb, you know, Colton Gordon, Zach DiCenzo came out of spring training. Those are general manager decisions. And at some point, we expect to see Bryce Matthews. Like, all of a sudden, and I've never really been critical of Dana Brown, but I haven't been like, oh, this guy's, you know, working some magic. I've just kind of been indifferent on some of the things that he's done. They've done some good. They've made some good decisions this year.
Yeah, I think that that's probably fair to some degree. I think that there's also a lot of criticism that you can bring to him as the, you know, kind of head of the way that this organization runs, and the fact that we've had, you know, all the problems that we've had injury wise and those types of things.
No,
and
yeah, that's definitely a fact.
Those things are still things that you have to bring to him. Mm-hmm. I do wonder though. I'd appreciate that text. I'll get to it in just a moment. I do wonder though. Are we not, how much credit do you give him for the way that this bullpen has been? Because this bullpen has been phenomenal with a lot of guys that I probably would not have anticipated being as stout for you as they have. And just a couple of guys that I thought of off top, as you talk about like Okra, you talk about Dubin. Both those guys came in the last couple of seasons.
Brian King
as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's a number of guys who have stepped up in a way that feels like their play outsized, at least what I imagine their names to be. Coming into the season, you remember I looked at this bullpen and I was like, "Yeah, I don't know, dog."
Right.
Like I looked at this bullpen, mm-hmm. and I was like, "I got real questions as to what's mm-hmm. happening here." And then I guess the one that you probably look up and you go, "Hey, you should probably give him some credit for." Somebody said in all caps, "Jake freaking Myers." The idea, not just that he's there, but that they stuck with him, believing that there was something mm-hmm. like this in. Well, maybe they believe something like this was in there. I can't even say that for certain. They deserve a level of credit for that. I think that is fair to point out.
Yeah. No. And I'm not saying this guy's a genius. What I'm saying is, I didn't expect the season to be, and look, they still could, they still have struggles, you know, in clutch situations and scoring runs and all that. But I think they're ahead of where I thought they would be at this point. I was with Figgy. I thought they'd be sort of middling, struggling, trying to find some answers, you know, et cetera. Dude, they're 7 games above 500.
How much
or
do you
six,
put?
What is it right now?
How much do you put that above for, you know, on Dana Brown's play? How much of that do you give Joe Spada some credit for? Because mm-hmm. Joe Spada exists as one of these personalities. I think more than Dana Brown, it gets a lot of criticism for the way that he manages. But he's managed to, you know, see this team to this point where they're, you know, leading the AL West. They're finding a way to get wins, even as I think there's fair, you know, questions to ask about some of the ways that they have to do it. Like they've been, we talk about them being better on the base paths and using that in place of, you know, maybe not swinging the bat nearly as good as they had in previous years. The pitching is still really solid and being able to use that bullpen in a way that feels like it has been right. Like you've gotten to the right guys in the bullpen when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Jake Hader has been really good at the back end of this, which helps as well. But managing your bullpen has been pretty solid at this point as well.
Now, look, Spada deserves some credit definitely on managing the bullpen. But in terms of you know, buying the groceries, I think Dana Brown has a much bigger impact on what this roster looks like right now. And again, I'm not going to throw a parade or anything. I'm just like, you know, over the course of the last 10 days or so, I'm like, man, all these knobs that he's pushing as a general manager, they've worked out.
Yeah. You can even go back to last season yeah. with the Kikuchi trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like we was on this show criticizing that trade. Yeah. Like, man, who is this guy? he was probably one of their best pitchers last year.
Yeah, certainly at the end of the year he was.
Yeah, and I guess, again, as I shouted out, Hader being really good, what happens if you don't sign Hader and it's Presley? And, I mean, again, assuming that these guys are going the same way, which is mm-hmm. not something you can very fairly, but Presley right now is not anywhere near what Hader has been for you,
mm-hmm.
and that has been really necessary for you to get to the place that you have been to this point. Now, you do have to give him a level of credit for sure with mm-hmm. what he's been able to do with this Astros team. Now, Lopez, I don't know if you're willing to have this discussion yet, but from mm-hmm. the 713, has Cam Smith overtaken Cameron Smith yet? Or are we still rocking with that no-name Australian golfer having more name recognition than the baseball player?
U.S. Open is this week, by the way, which, you know, I'll be plugged in on that. Ask someone in Omaha, hey, who do you think of when you think of Cam Smith?
Yeah, I will say that Cam Smith as baseball player, he's been fun here.
Yeah.
I will say that, and again, outsized, unfair expectations. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that he'd be like more beloved in a AL Rookie of the Year type
national scale circumstance,
yeah. but to where his national yeah. profile.
See, that was our argument though. If he would have made it, if he was balling, because we talked about him in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
If he kept that up,
oh for sure,
he would have. You know, would he pass the Cam Smith Lopez? No.
Yeah.
Just Lopez. Just Lopez.
Just me.
Where do you think Cam Smith is rookie of the year odds wise right now?
I would say third.
A little bit lower, tied for fourth.
Okay.
With Will Warren, who I'm going to be honest, Will Warren, name doesn't come to me right in this moment, but Jacob Wilson, who has been like the reason to watch the A's at this point.
Yeah.
He's the leader in the clubhouse, minus 400. It feels like that one's going to be tough. And then Jack Caglianone,
just came up, he has the second best odds.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's Cam Smith is, I imagine, have to do something a little bit more flashy in order to start clawing back in that particular race, but and maybe just do that in order to get your name, man, to be the sole owner of Cam Smith, so that we don't have to talk to Lopez about this golfer. No,
Lopez, it's the world.
That's your guy,
it's
though.
Your guy.
That's your man.
The
your
world knows
you,
that.
You brought him up on this station.
The world knows him better.
That's your man. You know him better than everybody else on this show.
The world of Lopez. Yeah. Lopez always going to side with an Australian. I see how it goes. All right, y'all, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including, hey, man, let's talk a little bit about the NBA Finals, but also it looks like the world is changing when it comes to the way that colleges pay athletes. We'll talk about all that next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop, on Sports Radio 610. Let's start with, let's start by saluting the Astros getting another series win. How about that? Let's start that. Winning 2 out of the 3 games, almost getting a sweep, if not for yesterday's game opening back up. And unfortunately, was it Okert that ultimately got the loss in that one, 4-2. But what was your big takeaway from the weekend? Was there anything that jumped out to you in particular?
Good start by obviously the call up,
Brandon Walter.
Yeah, Walter, and that was something that was frankly a little bit unexpected. Came out of nowhere, obviously, with the Forrest Whitley thing, but also just putting it together. I mean, they're putting together a nice run, I believe. And remember, I mentioned it on air. You go back to what could have been a series split at home against the Mariners, and they ended up 2 runs in the 9th inning and winning that series. And the thing that just jumped out to me was, boy, that was really the Astros sort of doing Astros-like things that we're accustomed to. And taking out the Mariners, who were still in first place at the time, and I believe the Astros tied them after that.
That sounds right.
In that series, and ever since then, the Astros have kind of shown those tendencies of the old Astros, like we're still here kind of mentality. I think they're 9-4 since that game when they could have split the series against the Mariners. They ended up taking 3 out of 4, as you mentioned. They ended up really going a little bit of a run here. They're starting to show some things. That's the takeaway.
8-4.
8-4? Yeah.
I mean, they'd be 9-4 if you included that final Mariners game.
Let's include that final Mariners game. Since then. And so that was a big moment for me. And I wasn't saying, oh, this is where it's going to happen. It just struck me as like, okay, now we're starting to see some things that we're accustomed to with this club.
You mentioned Brandon Walter, who gave you a quality start yesterday, which is one of those things that it feels like you need from those guys, the guys who are not a part of the triumvirate of starting pitchers that you feel comfortable with. Obviously, you have your guys who I saw Chandler Rome refer to them as your co-aces, and I was like, I don't know if I want to say that per se.
I wouldn't go that far, yeah.
But Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez, because, I mean, at that point, we're picking nits, but both of those guys you feel very comfortable with. Lance McCullers Jr., obviously, I think you're in a place that you probably feel that way too. Outside of them, it feels like you have guys that, Colton Gordon, Ryan Gusto, now Brandon Walter, that you're going to need to kind of step into that space. Getting 6 innings was very necessary. And so, I think that's good. And I mean, he ended up not being a part of the decision there. It was Okert that had to hold the loss on that one. But they make their way back home for a quick 6-game homestand. And I think they're heading into another one of those stretch of like a whole bunch of games and a whole bunch of days. Was it 13, I believe? And it seems like they're going to the 6-man rotation again. Your favorite.
At this point, you almost have to, given where they are. But White Sox in town for 3, and they're not good. And so you got McCullers Jr., Gusto, and Fromber scheduled to go against the White Sox. And then the Twins. And then the Twins come in. So yeah, that'll be good.
So you get those, and then you'll be on the road for the A's and the Angels before you get a Monday off in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, man, another one of those stretches, and it does indeed look like you're going to have to have the likes of Gusto, Gordon, and now Walter giving you some good stuff in between the likes of McCullers, Valdez, and Brown, who are, your guys leading the charge there. Hopefully that plays out well. But, I mean, you got yourself a nice 2.5-game lead. It would have been a little bit bigger if, one, obviously you get that win
against the Guardians, but two, if the Mariners weren't able to get a Sunday victory.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, good space to be in for your Astros, all things considered. Man, NBA Finals Game 2 happened yesterday, and I'm glad that you did not change too much in your perspective on this series. I hope at least I can say that about myself, because Oklahoma City Thunder absolutely came out and did the thing that you would largely expect them to do, made some adjustments, and got a big-time victory in Game 2 in this one, and that was last night, 123-107. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 34 of them things, 8 assists, 4 steals. I mean, it looked a lot like the Thunder that you'd seen all season long.
We didn't want to overreact to what the Pacers did, but we both agree. I think we both kind of landed in the spot of there is a path for the Pacers. But we didn't want to overreact to what they did in Game 1, even as remarkable as it was, as great a finish as it was. And I don't want to overreact too much the other way here, but I think we saw how the Thunder, you know, are going to get this done. I think we both agree that the Thunder would probably still win this series, even though it was in the moment pretty impressive and pretty amazing what the Pacers did. But man, it wasn't just, you know, the offense. It was what the defense was against Haller. What did he have, 5 points through three quarters?
I know he had 5 points in the first half. 17 points ultimately for Tyrese Haliburton. Yeah. And it wasn't on inefficient shooting. It's just they're not letting him get to much because of that, what I would say, borderline, if not historic defense that the Thunder run out there. The thing that felt different in Game 1 versus Game 2 is when Tyrese was not able to get into a lot of it, you had other guys piling in, especially, namely, Pascal Siakam, who was not able to. He just did not feel as involved in the game as he was in Game 1. And he's going to have to be that secondary guy that gets his in the moments where either Tyrese Haliburton's on the bench or Tyrese Haliburton's kind of being the point of emphasis for the Oklahoma City Thunder defense. And that wasn't the case in this one. The series now flips back to Indianapolis. I believe Wednesday is when we'll have Game 3 of that one. And so, look, the Pacers are going to have to do what they need to do in order to keep this thing up. But They even in the game last night, I was constantly waiting, is the run going to come, because they have that capability.
They made a little mini run, you know, and they had an opportunity early. You could tell the Thunder were somewhat pressing early on, trying to like do too much, moving very fast. There was an opportunity for the Pacers. They couldn't take advantage of that. And ultimately it comes down to, are the Pacers going to knock down 3-pointers? You know, that's really their only way to sort of, you know, stay in this and make their runs, and they weren't knocking down three.
No, that's true. They did shoot very well from three in the first game. Shot making is always a part of it, but it'll matter a good amount. I mean, are you having fun with this? I just want to stop and, like, I am having so much fun with this particular finals. This feels like such a fun matchup.
And watching what the Thunder do and how they react and if the Pacers have it in them to make that run. Absolutely. And the depth. Caruso had 20 last night. You know, some of these guys, it's just fun watching how, like, the flaws in their team are very small in the Oklahoma City Thunder.
No, for sure. Yeah. This is very fun, especially if you're a basketball nerd and you like the kind of matchups. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what the next matchup will be. The next move. Because the chess matchup, this has been really fun when you talk about, obviously, Rick Carlisle at the helm of his side. But Mark Daigneault, I thought that he made some good adjustments. They actually went back to that double big lineup, and they kind of went the opposite way. As Game 1, they were like, we'll allow you to pull us to being small. They asserted their dominance, and I think Chet Holmgren deserves a lot of credit for not being played off the floor.
He was
aggressive
early. Yeah, he was real aggressive early, too.
For sure. Yeah. All right, another thing that's popping is going to be a big-time thing. It's a huge shift in one of, I'd probably say, what, like the second or third most popular sport in America when we talk about college sports, particularly college football, as, what was it, Friday? Was it Friday that ultimately what was accepted was the NCAA house settlement when it comes to the paying of college athletes. Like, we are in that space where now there's basically a payroll that's been put up for college football, or college sports rather. I want to make sure that I'm very clear that it's the entirety of college sports, but it's a $2.8 billion settlement to start with, where players, anybody that graduated after 2016, will be able to be compensated for their play. So that's a payback, like I said, nearly $2.8 billion in back damages over the next 10 years to athletes who completed college at any time between 2016 and present day. And moving forward, roughly $20.5 million per school per year, or rather this year, the 25-26 season, will be set as a cap for payments out to players at various schools. And that will increase every year during the decade-long deal.
And I'd need to double check on what actually will create that increase and what that'll be based off of. But at this point, there is now a space for teams or schools to pay their players. And if you're worried about, like, hey, will this NIL happen over the top? Supposedly the NCAA and really the member schools are trying to employ a outside kind of firm to then kind of set the parameters and double check all the NIL deals. So putting in some level of oversight in NIL deals to make sure that the deals are, you know, right and accurate, as opposed to just kind of quid pro quo for pay for play.
Now, you're probably asking, okay, how's that going to affect my favorite team? You know, some of these big squads, basically what it is the schools are paying and have to keep record. They're paying their athletes. The $20.5 million is for all the sports.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that NIL is going away.
But it does.
And that's the key thing. What it does do is you have to have the paper trail. Of if you're paying via NIL, you have to get some sort of, you know, name, image, likeness sort of receipt that they are in fact doing that for these particular companies.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah, it has to be an actual deal, yeah, right? Like, and I do appreciate that it is trying to get them back to where, hey man, I'm doing advertising for the local car dealership. That it's actually advertising for the local car dealership as opposed to
here's a lot of money. See what you can do with it.
The thing that I find to be hilarious about this portion of it, though, to be completely honest, is it's just going to go back to what it was, because ultimately if people want to pay to induce these dudes or these, of course, I say dudes, but obviously any of these athletes to play, they're going to find their way around it because this thing means so much to folks.
It's still
going to
be shady.
Like, I think we go back.
It's still going to be shady.
I think we go back to Bagman, funny enough.
It's a loophole in everything, man.
No, I think what Reggie said is right. It's still going to be some back of the room, you know, craziness going on. Bagman, SMU, you know, going to Domino's and dropping a bag of money. Because the funny thing is, $20.5 million is like not even half of what some of these major programs are going to be paying people. Texas alone, just the University of Texas, they said their budget for football, what, $30 million? $30 to $40 million?
I'm always real dicey about the numbers.
There's going to be a lot more than 20.5 for the entire department.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. Especially schools like Texas that compete in damn near everything. And the SEC, where, look, I get tired of the, it just means more about the SEC. Mm-hmm. However, I can't deny everything matters to them. They be they're in there in gymnastics meets going wild. They're in there with baseball. LSU just punched their ticket to Omaha. They're about to be in Omaha deep buying Jell-O shots and all the other things.
Yeah.
All those schools that have a lot of different programs, I'm very intrigued to see how they manage that, because like they want to put their money on the baseball team. Mm-hmm. They want to put their money on the basketball team. They want to put their money on the football team. And that same 20 and a half goes the same as a school like, let's say, I mean, even Duke has a whole bunch of programs, but a school that maybe they're focusing on, you know, one of these programs means a lot to us, and these other programs, they mean something, but they not the same way.
And oh, by the way, simultaneous to this, the state of Texas, Greg Abbott signed some legislation saying that the NIL deals can now be, you know, implemented to players as young as that with a minimum age of 17, which means that high school players can now get NIL deals.
Oh, that's a really interesting perspective.
So you can be a senior or 17 years old in high school, and you can get an NIL deal. So the state of Texas, all of a sudden, in conjunction with the other NIL, can now basically recruit. You know, basically recruit high schoolers at 17 to go to your favorite school, whether it's A&M, Texas, whatever.
You're talking about that. I started thinking what that means for high school football, because high school sports already is in this. What happens if we start having,
but it's recruiting.
Having schools that have some, recruiting for the college. But I'm saying if that is legal at 17, are you seeing high school programs, if you can get the booster money, which I mean, that's a whole different
some
question. But some schools are building these
particular
stadiums, and they can get built out of nowhere with no money. Like, are you going to see some of these powers become even more powerful because now they can filter even more money in to these players?
Big car dealership in Katy, North Shore, all these other ones.
That would be
just imagine these high school players pulling up in Lamborghinis.
They will.
They
absolutely
will. I don't know what I would do if I pulled up to school in a Lamborghini in high school.
I guarantee you it's not study for that test.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's the answer. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 Wild. Wild stuff. There's all sorts of other things happening. We'll circle back around to it, including U.S. soccer losing another friendly. We'll talk more about that in the winners and losers of the weekend later. But coming up next, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, one of the newest Texans, maybe not the newest by this point, because there's another one who is in the building right now, taking a physical at some point here today, where we might be hearing about. But C.J. Gardner-Johnson, He spoke. He talked to Aaron Wilson. There were some interesting things within that. I kind of want to parse through that with you here, Lopez. Let's do that next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.